Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
What's happening, everybody? This is Dr. Homebrew, and I don't care. I don't care about anything today. It sucks. Everything sucks, and it's terrible.
Don't hold back, Jason. How do you really feel?
Yeah, I just told you, Brian. Don't play your boomer mind games with me, Brian.
You're like Tim.
I'm not quite a boomer. I'm like one of those guys nothing. I'm kind of too young to be a boomer, but I'm too old to be, what is next, like a Gen Xer or something? I'm just in some no man's land of just nothing. I'm some guy.
I mean, you're also not wrong, I guess. You know. Anyway.
JP's all bitter, like, I don't care.
I'm just tired and angry. I don't want to be here.
Did you lose your magic nose goblins?
No. What do you want, Bev?
Fix Brian's camera.
He's
pointing at his boobs.
I probably bumped it.
Oh.
His boobs or
like
my
that?
Boobs?
His boobs.
Oh, okay.
Like that?
That's good. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm glad we didn't do this before the show.
Sorry.
Yeah. I don't care. This.
Obviously you do.
Episode of, you know what? This episode of Dr. Homebrew has been brought to you by 5-Star. You can go to 5starchemicals.com and learn all the different ways to care about your homebrew. Not like me, who doesn't care about his homebrew. But I still use PBW, oddly enough, just to, for odd cleaning jobs around the house. So that stuff is powerful
good.
Yeah, I love it. So thanks to the people at 5-Star. Really appreciate it. We are, here's a heads up for Dr. Homebrew people. At some point this week, this isn't going to even be released until for like another month, so maybe it doesn't matter.
For those of you listening live.
I guess it doesn't matter anymore. Never mind. We're going to be doing some Bells giveaway. Let's just pretend that like we have 100,000 live listeners. We're going to do a Bells giveaway. We're going to do 4 Bells giveaways.
What? We're doing 4 Bells giveaways?
Yeah, for doing the more homebrew kits. And so people on social media can enter to win homebrew kits, and then they're going to send the beers in to us. So at some point between May and August, we're going to have specifically 4 beers from the lovely people at Bell's to sample. So
I like what those Bell's guys are doing. They're doing some.
Yeah.
That's going to be rad.
Yeah, it'll be fun. What are you doing, Brian?
This glass had a little dust in it, so I'm rinsing it out for my friend Don, who's in the studio with us here.
Yeah, but you're pouring it back into the bottle?
Yeah.
From the glass?
Well, usually, you know, we have, like, rinse buckets here and stuff. But Bevo's slacking tonight, so, you know. But it's okay. I'm making do. I'm just...
I mean, Brian, I'm not really one to talk, but you are a deeply weird man.
Yeah.
I didn't ask it. It should be said I didn't ask her for anything. So, yeah.
No one ever does.
But
and she
that.
Delivers nothing.
Look at that.
Let me tell you.
Perfectly rinsed glass with no more dust in it.
Yeah, you did good, Brian. You did you did good. Speaking of good, Brian, what do we got on the show today, bud?
We have a Vienna Lager and a Vienna Lager.
Oh, I love that. Vienna Lagers, baby. I'm all about them.
Yeah.
They're good stuff. Okay. Well, I don't know. I guess let's just get the first guy on the phone. I'm so...
Her future guest.
Oh.
Out of it today. Thanks,
Bev. She loves
me
after all.
All right. Let's talk to... What is it? Rich? Do I have Rich's information?
He's been a repeat offender.
Yeah. I just don't have it in front of me. I need a producer.
All right.
Here we go. Here.
So, why are you in such a negative mood tonight, JP?
I'm tired, dude. I'm exhausted. I tried to take a 15-minute cat nap before driving out here. I'm just tired. I don't sleep well. I've been up at 4:30 every morning for, like, weeks, and I don't know why. My cat wakes me up in between the time I go to bed and the time I wake up, so I've just interrupted shitty sleep.
Do you use melatonin?
No.
Okay. Get yourself some...
But I use melanin. Is that the same thing?
Melatonin. Get yourself a magnesium supplement.
Magnesium?
Yeah. The Western diet is remarkably poor in magnesium. And it's a mineral that's essential. It actually helps with your stress levels, and a little bit, supposedly, but it can make a difference in some people's sleep.
Yeah. It can't hurt you. It's magnesium, and if you take too much, it's like a laxative, so you'll just poop. So
right.
What's wrong? Nothing wrong with that.
Well, there's different forms of it too. Like, yeah.
And bananas, or is that potassium?
That's potassium.
Oh.
Yeah.
How late are you drinking caffeine at night, Jason?
I don't drink caffeine at night at all. Mm. Like, I've never been a good sleeper, ever.
Here, we're actually being, like, trying to be doctors, homebrew, for once. And, you're getting the kind of medical advice you'd expect Brian and I to give you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've thought about the melatonin. I honestly confuse the melanin and melatonin in my head.
Melatonin, yeah, it's something your body makes naturally when things start to get dark, and if your body just doesn't do it right, sometimes it helps you to put a little bit of that. You know,
melanin is what makes your skin dark.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's funny to me. I don't want to go into GNC and ask for melanin.
Yeah, we're all pretty melanin impoverished in this room right now, unfortunately.
You guys are like, the fuck you just asked me for, dude?
So
sorry, I don't know. I'm just trying to sleep.
Magnesium glycinate is the one that has less of a laxative kind of effect.
I gotcha.
And it's, I don't know, whatever the stuff that they put in, Minmusel or whatever. But
Philips milk of magnesia.
Yeah, or is it? Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm getting my stuff mixed up.
See, well, this is why I'm not going to listen to you.
It. The internet is your brain, and it will help you.
You know, it also helps is low-dose THC edibles, like 5 milligrams, just the lowest possible dose. And you have that like an hour before bed.
Take a 10
milligram
gummy.
You're having a hard time going to sleep. Even that's too much. You don't need that much.
Put it in half, and then you get twice your money. Yeah.
Well, a little bit. Yeah.
Just because my hair is getting longer doesn't mean I'm a hippie, okay? Settle down over there. Brian wearing the purple shirt today. Rich, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, dude?
Rich.
Oh, not much. Just kind of hanging out, waiting for you guys. How's it going?
I don't care today, Rich. Don't get on my bad side.
Doesn't care.
Okay. Sorry, man.
I'm just kidding. All right. So you've been on before, and this Vienna Lager is what, sort of a rebrew from the previous one that I believe was on my porch at like 96 degrees for even 20 minutes. But when I pulled the bottle out, I used one of those surface lasers, and the outside of the glass was 96 degrees, right?
Right. That is, but it's actually the same batch.
It's batch.
I didn't rebrew it. I sent you.
Perfect.
Okay.
Sent you a fresh, cool one.
It was, he sent us a fresh, cool one. This was like 7 months ago or something, right?
Yeah, something like that.
From October.
It was actually brewed last May.
It was brewed last May.
Correct.
Yeah, it's a lager. It'll be okay.
Yeah, sure. There's water in that, Brian. What are you doing?
This is extra water.
And actually, I'm having one with you. I didn't think I had any, but I found one in a corner of the refrigerator. So I dusted it off, and so here we go.
Okay. Perfect. All right, Brian Cooper, why don't you go ahead and start us off, bud?
All right. So, listen back to episode 155. This is probably going to be about, the same as that, but we'll see.
Okay.
Open the bottle, got a little low hiss. It has a pleasant, bready, toasty malt up front with very low, spicy herbal hop aroma. Clean lager profile, no esters noted, no diacetyl or acetaldehyde detected. I thought I might, I'm not getting it in this one. When I judged it before, and this was in January, it's now February something. I thought I got a faint papery, but I'm not really getting that in the nose here now. Appearance-wise, probably just because I knew it was old and I was putting that in my brain. Appearance has a reddish kind of grayish ambery color with a low off-white head that stays up for a good long while. Mostly finer bubbles. Flavor-wise, clean, malty, toasty notes up front. It finishes semi-dry, just a bit minerally perhaps. Low spicy floral hop and low bitterness. I wasn't getting any papery or honey-like notes in there, so I figured, okay, I was just off my rocker with the thinking there was some oxidation in the nose.
It's possible.
It does not taste oxidized at all. It actually still tastes very clean, and you must have bottled these well because it's holding up quite nicely.
Yeah.
Medium-bodied with a medium level of carbonation and no warming. There shouldn't be. It's not very creamy, no astringency noted. It is pretty smooth on the palate and not really biting, so the mouthfeel is pretty nice there. A very nicely brewed Vienna lager, no major detectable flaws, and for a slightly better balance, I would say just... I was thinking almost just a bit more bitterness and less mineral. Does that make sense?
Okay.
You want the finish to really pop on this and just kind of dry out on your tongue and leave you with a little flourish there. But alternately, you know, you could also go in a different direction, give it a hint more sweetness, as it, you know, and kind of round it out that way. I guess overall it just seemed a bit understated, maybe a little bit dulled as it ages, but it didn't seem really watery or anything. It's got a good amount of flavor to it there. It's just not quite as richly malty as I'd like, but it's still a really nice beer. These are all kind of fine points, and I actually gave it a 37, and I was not looking at my previous score sheet, but we just re-listened to that show on the way up here, my buddy and I, and lo and behold, I had given it a 37 back then too. So I guess I'm I'm good. I don't know. Or I'm consistent.
You're just looking for something a little bit more sexy, huh?
I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really nice lager. 37 is a very good score from for in a good competition.
For sure. All right, Branchar.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rich, are you in? I think you've been on the show before, and I think we've asked you, and I've, of course, forgotten because that's who I am. Are you in a homebrew club?
No, I'm not, Brian.
So you're the lone brewer. All right. That's totally cool.
That's right.
We're your club tonight. So I largely echo everything that Brian had said. I think the aroma, I did get a slight papery. I'm maybe a little more sensitive to oxidation in some respects. You know, offline, Brian and I were having a discussion about that before the show. I tend to get it a lot more when it's the cardboard / paper. And I think Cooper tends to get it a little more when it's more like a honey type thing. But
when it's first coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I can get the papery when it's... Yeah. Sometimes exactly. You get those dose kits and the papery is just so heavy you can't taste anything else.
But. Yeah, that's too much when you get that dose kit. I gave it 7 for aroma. Appearance, 3 out of 3. It's got a really big, really persistent head, which is hard to do. So good job on that. Got kind of a medium dark gold color. Very clear, well done. Flavor, I really did get a lot of cardboard up front in this beer. I mean, it's one of those things that you take your first sip, and the cardboard, to me at least, is really apparent.
Maybe that's something that I'm getting as a, quote, mineraliness that I'm, like, having trouble... ascertaining exactly what I'm picking up there.
I know what you're talking about. For me, it's like, this is going to sound ridiculous, but fresh cardboard, not like wet cardboard.
No,
but
I hear
like
what you're saying.
Like
exactly.
A clean, or like if you take cardboard out of the fridge, if you have like a box in the fridge and you open that box and that like cold cardboard smell, that's the flavor that I get out of that. So it is maybe a little tacky, minerally.
I was going for a dank cardboard.
Yeah.
Like the outside of an Eggo box.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think, Brian, for next time anyone does like a BJCP class, we need to have like different kinds of cardboard, like warm cardboard, cold cardboard, wet, dry.
Corrugated, non-corrugated,
yeah,
printed.
Like that thin shit. And we just kind of go back to being a kindergarten pre-K, and we just start gnawing on every bit of cardboard we get our hands on.
I really prefer the Amazon box myself. Mm-hmm, it's the best cardboard.
It's the prime example.
Just don't eat the smile. The smile doesn't taste real good.
Never does.
But I do get, you know, the bready malt character, the bitterness that comes up almost to balance. You can tell this was probably a really, really good beer when it was really fresh.
Right.
It's well attenuated. Gave it 11 out of 20 for flavor. Mouthfeel, you pretty much echo what Brian said. Gave it 5 out of 5. Overall, gave this 6 out of 10. I think that age is really the problem here.
Yeah.
I suspect that if we'd just come to your house uninvited, and just sat down and started drinking your beer when this was like 3 or 4 weeks old, we'd have been loving this, and you wouldn't have been able to get us out of your home. Absent calling the sheriff.
Yeah, especially if it wasn't that day that it was 98 degrees outside. The one day in the middle of whenever the fall, early winter, I think is when it was. It was just randomly super hot.
Yeah.
When this was delivered.
It was like third summer, like third scorcher of the.
Yeah, but apparently it didn't even matter to Brian Cooper.
Yeah.
Same score. So there you go, Rich. How do you feel now?
Well, and it wasn't actually Brian Shar judging it with us the first time. It was our friend Beardy.
Oh, yeah.
Warren was here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who cares, though?
Okay.
But I gave this 32 overall. Thought it was a good beer. And I suspect this is one where if I had had this fresh, it'd probably be over 40.
Yeah, no, I judged it. You know, the score sheet I was reading is from a month and a half ago. And I think as tasting it now, I probably would be down a couple more points than I was at on this. I just read it down what I wrote at that point, and I was like, I kind of agree with some of this, and it's changing a little bit. And, you know, yeah, it's a little more dulled, a little, you know, it's falling off the cliff a little bit, but it's not all the way off the cliff where you need to, like, dump it. It's still very nicely drinkable beer, and share it with your friends and enjoy it and brew another batch.
Yeah, you know, I personally, I like it. It's not my favorite Vienna lager. I'd have to mirror what you're saying. I've had better. It scored pretty well in a local competition. It got 40, I think, and took first place. But for me, it wasn't my favorite. The cardboardy, I guess I could taste a hint of cardboard as well when I'm sitting here drinking it, too.
Was yours bottled at the same time?
Fair feedback.
Yeah, you found one that was bottled when you did all these?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing that it's held up as well as it has over the last, you know,
almost a year.
Yeah, since last summer. So, pretty good job there. But, yeah, you really don't want to leave Homebrew sitting around bottled for that long and expect it to do well in a comp. You want to bottle it fresh and cap on foam and send her on down the road. But
I can step up my game on this one.
You know, send us a different beer sometime, and we'd love to have you back on again too. Do we want to briefly talk about anything recipe related? We covered it before, but if you just do your malt bill for us at least.
Yeah, so I got 70% Vienna malt, about 22% Pilsner, and then I've got 4% dark Munich, and they're all Weyermann. Mm-hmm. And then that's for the mash. And then in the sparge, I put a half a pound of 2% Melanoidin malt and 1% Carafa 3. So those were both in the sparge. So there's a grain bill.
And then I think you used Magnum hops for bittering, just kind of neutral Magnum.
Yeah, I used Magnum for the 60-minute boil, and then at 5 minutes I put in half an ounce of Saaz. And so that's my hop bill.
I love it. Don't change a thing.
I think it came out really nicely. And did you use pellets or a whole hop Saaz?
I used pellets. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would too.
Now, me too.
Yeah.
It seems like a high percentage of Pilsner malt compared to the, you know, the Vienna and some, you know, I'm trying to remember. Do you have Munich in there? Any Munich in there?
Yeah, I've got 4% dark Munich.
Just a little bit of the dark Munich. I mean, you can use a little bit of regular Munich in there too to bring up the complexity a little bit.
Oh yeah,
and use more of a higher Vienna to Pilsner ratio. Rather than 72% Pilsner and the rest of other malts, it's a Vienna. You know, a lot of them use a lot of Vienna malts. So you can do that, or you can blend Pilsner with Munich. You can do different ways to get that flavor. You know, you just want to be careful going too far towards the Oktoberfest kind of side of things, or the Märzen side of things, getting too malty and rich. It has to be really quaffable, dry off in the finish, like this one kind of does, and you know, leave you with some flavor in there, and the sweetness comes from the malts, not from the you know, residual gravity in the beer so much.
Okay.
So
now you had mentioned minerally. I used RO water, but I treated it with 2 teaspoons of calcium chloride.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I didn't use.
That's
about all I put in there.
Pretty clean. I think really what I am getting is that quote mineraliness is actually the oxidation. The more I taste it, it's mm-hmm. a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, and as it warms up, it's a little maybe honey-like too cold. Now. So
cold, yeah, a little honey. I don't really get any minerality out of this. Usually, I'm pretty sensitive to that. There's beers you can tell, and they're like licking a rock because the water's been over-adjusted. And this is not a rock-licking beer.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it is. It is like a papery or dry, dry
is,
cold
is,
cardboard.
Is rock licking ever in style in any of that?
No, rock licking is always a flaw and it is never in style. Unless, and if you're into that kind of thing, that's totally cool. But that's not. You probably shouldn't be drinking beer. You should probably just be out licking rocks at that point.
If you're four and you're on the playground, it's perfectly okay, though.
I think that's why pastry stouts were invented.
You got to get your immune system built up somehow.
Yeah. All right, Rich. Well, if that's it, man, we'll let you go.
Okay.
Thanks for resending.
All right, well, thanks.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, appreciate waiting so long for the second show. We kept pushing it off.
Yeah, don't worry about it. But thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye, man. Later.
Bye-bye.
Cool.
All right.
Good stuff.
It was nice of him to send that beer again.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, he had done pretty well in that competition. We judged it. You know, Beardy judged it a little bit lower than me, I think, but it was, you know, in the same territory, but he had gotten like a 40 at a local comp there, so just wanted to see if we could get it there, but I don't think we got to it in time. Maybe if we gotten it really fresh, we could have tasted it at its prime, but once it travels like that and lands on JP's doorstep, it's done for.
That's true.
You know, Brian from a style.
Shut up, Brian. We're taking a break. Taking a break. I don't care today.
He's
I don't
better,
care.
And he doesn't
I,
care.
I've heard you.
Don't get
don't
on my fucking
right
bad
now.
Side. I don't care today. I'm not going
to
sit and let you just play
I'll,
it out. We're going
to
take
break.
A break, and we're going
to
come right back. Stay tuned, everybody. It's Dr. Homebrew.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now count backwards from 100. 99, 98, that's it. 97, 96, 95.
Now back to Dr. Homebrew.
That's right, everybody. Dr. Homebrew back at it with apparently another Vienna Lager.
I'm still counting backwards.
The beer's so nice, we drank it twice from two different brewers.
That's right. And we have Don in the studio. Don, how's it going, man?
Going well.
Perfect. Thanks for coming in and bringing the Vienna Lager, dude. Yeah, get it right up in your face, uncomfortably so. And I can probably also stand to turn you up a little bit.
It's like, put your lips on it. Don't even worry about coronavirus or anything. Just go for it.
Definitely don't do that.
If you're going to die, you're going to die. Fuck it, man.
You should have had that left like
who cares
more than
anymore?
5 minutes ago.
That's right. Who
That's
cares?
The theme of tonight. Who cares?
Gives a shit anymore. Don, how long you been homebrewing, homie?
I started homebrewing in 96.
96. All right. That's pretty close to when I started, actually.
Yeah, actually got interested in it. The first San Jose Beer Festival.
There you go.
Down there, ran across one of the booths that was one of the brew clubs down there.
Yeah,
they had some good information. I got kind of interested in it, and then they told me about the local shop down there. I don't know if I can say that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it's Beer and Winemakers of America, Richard.
We'll just beep it out later.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Beep. I've
yeah,
been there.
Good
I'm
guy.
Kidding.
And,
okay, good.
He gave me a lot of good information and got me started and. Thank God my first batch was tasty because I would have probably quit right then.
Oh, yeah. Mine was contaminated. It was terrible. The bottle gushers. It was awful. My first 6 beers were terrible.
Wow.
Yeah. So you definitely went in there, you know.
No, my first was a pale ale, and it just was really good. So
yeah. Good.
Kept going, and I did probably about, I don't know, 2 years of extract, and then I switched to all grain, and I never looked back.
Okay. No mini mash?
No.
Flirted with mini mash?
Quickly to all grain.
Yeah, I did three of those, and I'm like, fuck this. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going all grain right now. Yeah. It's too bad.
Yeah.
Brian, did you have any questions for Don?
As a matter of fact, Don, I was going to ask you, are you a member of a homebrew club?
I am a member of Homebrew Club.
What is this
Mad
Homebrew
Zymergist.
Club? Yes, the Mad Z's. We love the Mad Z's.
I've never heard of them before.
I believe that they are located perhaps in the southern portion of the East Bay of the Bay Area.
I haven't heard
the
that
eastern
name
portion.
Repeatedly over and over again every show.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't. Yeah.
It's because I started the club, and I'm so proud of my baby and how it's
grown. I didn't
grown.
Know you started it.
Yeah,
I started it.
That's cool. I didn't know
that.
Yeah. Don and I were at the very first meeting of the Mad Zymergist in April.
Well, I hope you were
2007.
There. 2007. Right. Wow. Well, then how did you know about it? How did you know about it, Don?
So the homebrew shop that was in Livermore, he tried to start a homebrew shop.
Daniel
Goodman.
Yeah.
Tried to start a homebrew shop. Well, I mean, club.
Little club.
Kind of wavered back and forth a bit. Nobody really wanted to take the reins and take over.
Yeah, it sounds like a homebrew club, yeah.
Yeah. And then Brian came along and I decided, I'll be the president, and he just got it kicking.
I can
also partially blame my friend Greg, and he was one of the ones there too, and he was like, "Oh, we got this little thing starting in Livermore," you know, because I was like, "I don't really want to travel over," you know, I went to competitions that the Bay Area Masters put on. I knew about some of the other local clubs and Does and stuff. But I was like, I don't want to travel that far. It'd be nice to have something local. There's a lot of good
Pleasanton
brewers here.
To Livermore is so far away.
Yeah.
my buddy Al Branch was. No, I just meant like going to Oakland
to
or going
come
up
over to Wurtz of Wisdom in Los Altos. Yeah. I mean, we're awesome guys, but, you know,
I drive an hour after chasing 20 homebrews like I do every time we record this show.
Yeah, but
tell me about it.
Yeah. No. Our judge of competition.
Is this your first Vienna lager? I would imagine not.
No. I've brewed this for years, actually.
Okay.
Got several awards for it, third, second, and first.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're just testing these guys' palates, really?
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want any feedback. You just want to fuck them up a little bit. All right, well, Brian Schar, you're up first, man. Go for it.
All right. Don, thanks for sharing this beer. I really liked it.
You bet.
I'm not just saying that because you're sitting right here and you couldn't get up, but you'd be within like a
striking
range. I'm not just saying that for that reason. The aroma is sort of low, medium, bready, malty. Definitely a malt-oriented aroma. I get kind of a low, spicy, earthy hop character. No esters, no off aromas. It smells really inviting. Gave this 10 out of 12 for aroma. Appearance, 3 out of 3. It's crystal clear. You could read through this beer. Head is huge and ivory. This pour we just got, it wasn't quite as huge as the one earlier before the show. But, I mean, I've been drinking out of this glass, so all the nasty saliva enzymes and stuff are breaking that beautiful head down. But, oh, my God, before the show, it was what I like to call heroic, where you've got, like, an inch of beer. And, like, the head is half to three-quarters of an inch, and it just doesn't settle.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nice. What you really want from a traditional German-style lager like this, ultimately. Color is amber, beautiful, 3 out of 3. Flavor, initially the flavor is also sort of medium malty bready, but not overwhelmingly so. I'd even say a little on the low side, although this is a little bit warmer than the sample I had before. And my judgment of this is maybe it's a little more bready malty than the previous sample had been. Mid-palate, hot bitterness comes up to balance, maybe even a little bit more than balance, which is what the guidelines call for. Right. One of the things, I'm not going to belabor the point here, but if you pull up the style guidelines, they do a good job of sort of explaining the intersection between this Vienna lager, Märzen, Czech amber lager, some of the styles that kind of converge on some of the similar space for malts and bitterness and hop character. And this should be a little more on the bitter side, and it is. There's spicy hop flavor at a low level. It's very well attenuated. Finish is balanced and of medium length. Extremely clean, 15 out of 20. Mouthfeel, 5 out of 5. It's creamy and soft. Body is medium. Carbonation is medium, no warming or astringency. I really like this beer. I gave this a 9 for an overall impression and a 42 overall. I thought that it's you did a really good job on making this beer not too huge for style. Right? One of the temptations for brewing anything for competition or for being judged is to try to make it big. And like I was kind of alluding to earlier, you make this beer too big and suddenly it's a Märzen, mm-hmm. or suddenly it's Czech amber lager, or it's something.
A stout.
It's not a Vienna lager. A Vienna lager, it's like, kind of like, in some sense, making a light American lager. They're very different beers, but they're very much about subtlety.
Bev, can you shut that door, please?
And I think that the...
Dumbass, thank you.
Stop him.
I think that, you know, JP, I think you're having a great, fun evening.
Shut up, Brian! I'm tired of your bullshit!
Can I go down to the liquor store at the break and bring you, like, a fifth of something, or...
You can go down there, and you can stay down there.
I set myself up for that, didn't I?
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to derail you.
I need a shot.
I don't need help to get derailed.
Truth.
So this is, it's very balanced, slightly toward bitterness, like the style calls for, very clean. My comment from before that I'm not sure, I think I, now that it's warmer, my comment from before was maybe a touch more Vienna malt would be nice. But really, this is just a fantastic beer, you know, 42. This, I can see why you've placed in competition with this beer before. Really well done. Thank you for sharing this.
Thanks.
All right. Brian Cooper. It's time. Well, don't do that yet, because we don't know if Bev has selected that camera or not. So you may have just moved the live
camera.
Gave everybody fucking motion sickness. You have one job to do, Brian, and that is stop. Don't touch it.
Pointing at his boots again, though.
You have one job to do.
JP is slapping
Hold
Brian's
on, everyone, shut up.
No
look at the face. Look at the face, JP.
You have one job to do, and that's to judge beer. Don't touch the camera.
I want to touch the camera.
All right.
Somebody needs to fix the camera because it's clearly pointing at his chest.
See, this is and now everyone's going to have to hear this, and it's really annoying radio.
Does anyone need a hug in between shows?
Is it fine? Okay. Brian, please now continue.
Can we pause and start over here?
No. Continue. Go ahead, please. Right. I have to place words with friends.
I feel like we're annoying my friend from my club. He's going to quit after this.
I'm not in your club.
13 years of being my friend. Don over here. We drove up together.
He
need to
Don's
fine.
Friend.
Right back to this guy, and I don't want to listen to him complaining about how shitty these people I work with are.
Well, then he shouldn't complain about it.
I never complain.
See?
That's
so we opened the beer. It had a really nice it had a really nice hiss, good fill level, everything good there. The aroma, medium pleasant bread crust and light toasty malt aromas up front. A light floral hop aroma in there behind all that. Not too much of that. I got some light apricot-like fruitiness in there, which was kind of enjoyable. Just from the malts, though, not like a ferment-derived ester. But there's something just pleasant and warm in there and in the kind of fruity malt range. Very cleanly lagered, no DMS or diacetyl, just nice and clean. Appearance, it has an orangey deep amber color with a large creamy white head that just stuck around forever almost. Poured it and just kept rousing itself there. You can bring it back up and it's very finely formed, nice fine bubbles. Perfect appearance for the style. Flavor-wise, I'm getting a bold bread crusts and some Munich-like toastiness. The malt comes out right up front, and at first it seemed like bordering a little bit on Märzen territory, but it also, in this case, when you're judging a flight of beers, that was the first beer I judged tonight, so it's the hardest beer to judge is always the first one in a flight, or sometimes the last one, but it seemed a little bigger at first than it is to me now, so... has a very, very slight kind of honey-like sweetness that lingers in the aftertaste, but the finish is actually semi-dry. It dries out nicely and has a nice, you know, the balance is definitely to the malt, as it should be. The bitterness is fairly low and out of the way, and the hops are just kind of very low floral hop. It doesn't seem spicy. It seems more on the floral side of things. Just a nice, clean, like kind of German, like noble hop. It seems like I'm guessing ingredients. I shouldn't do that. Right. Mouthfeel-wise, medium-bodied plus, I would say. But again, maybe first beer syndrome. It could. It's medium-bodied-ish or so. Medium carbonation, soft enough on the palate, stays refreshing throughout at the same time. It's not too big. It's not too intense. It's not. It's definitely not molasses. Consistency wise, it's just in the right place. No obvious warmth, no astringency. Just overall very smooth. Overall impression, I'd say it's a very, very pleasant Vienna lager with a, just about all the declared style characteristics that you want in this beer. I think I'd like it better with just a very slightly lighter body, perhaps drop back some of the richest malts just a bit. If there's Munich with Vienna in there, maybe bring up the Vienna a little more, as Brian was saying, and drop the toast back just a little bit. It could be just a bit of a nicer balance. And this is just a really fine point. You could also, mash it even a bit lower and get it even a little drier, and then the maltiness you might not notice as much, that is there. But, there could be. I don't know how old the beer is, but it seems like it was stored well and bottled well. I was getting a light little honey-like thing, but that was just a very fine point. It could be the start of some oxidation or something else, but overall, it's a very pleasant beer, nice quaffable as it is, and I scored it a 39. So
nice.
Yeah. And also, likewise, not because he's my friend and he's sitting next to me here. But this is,
yeah, right.
I drink his Vienna all the time, and he has a reputation for being a good Vienna brewer in our club. And I know how hard it is to make a good lager like this, so the talent does not go unappreciated.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Don, what do you think? What do you think about all that feedback, all that lovely, nice feedback you got?
It's wonderful.
Do you have any questions about anything that the guy said, or...?
Not particularly.
Yeah.
Can we talk about your malt bill and your
absolutely
your yeast, hops, your fermentation yeast. Temperature,
yeah.
Water,
what you were wearing that day?
So,
your favorite cola.
Yeah. Since I was wearing anything that day,
that's why it tastes so good. You know what I'm trying to say?
So, I don't know the percentages. I'm gonna just kind of
go by pounds or whatever you want.
Well, so for it's a 7-gallon batch size. It's 4.5 pounds of Pilsner malt, Turo, Vienna malt, 4.5 pounds, Munich malt, 4.5 pounds. So 33
kind of even split.
Okay.
And then Carafa Special 2, 2.5 ounces in that.
So take off the third, and that's the the third. 33.
So the Carafa is for head retention?
Color.
Okay.
Yeah, because one time I forgot to put it in. I'm putting in the bowl kettle. I'm like, this is really kind of light. I'm not sure. Oops. Yeah. Yeah, you shouldn't drink when you make beer. Oh, wait a minute. That's not right.
No, you're right. You really shouldn't drink when you're brewing. It's a bad idea.
One suggestion that came up the last time we were talking about this beer, actually with Rich the previous time, was sometimes you can, with the Carafa, things like that, you can just drop them in your sparge instead of even putting it in your mash.
Right.
And, it gives you that color, but doesn't draw as much of the dark malt flavor out of it. Not that you have that much there, a couple ounces isn't going to hurt anybody, but, it's a good trick to get the color without as much of the flavor in there. Just kind of
drop it. The other thing I do with the Carafa is I use a coffee grinder. Mm-hmm. To just powder it.
Pulverize the heck out of it.
Just to beat the crap out of it. And then just kind of sprinkle it over after I mashed in.
Okay.
And then kind of stir it in a bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
works.
The number, the amount of color it gives, it disperses pretty well.
You're not trying to get gravity out of it.
No. Huh?
Right.
So then the yeast is 2124. Used to be WP 830. But depend on what brewing store you go to, you have to kind of get whatever they got.
Yeah.
Okay.
The hops is Hollow Tower all the way. So 1.6 ounces at 60 minutes, and then 0.65 ounces at 10.
Okay.
So that's a fairly low alpha hop. So that's interesting that you get, to me, what's kind of a high hop bitterness to balance using such a small amount of Hallertauer for 7 gallons.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's true.
It's really interesting.
Explain yourself.
Do you recall what the alphas were on those Hallertauers?
No. Unfortunately, I never got in the habit of writing that down.
That's fine. I mean, Hallertau is going to be probably 5% or less.
But yeah, threes or so, yeah.
But that's really fascinating. You got that much bitterness out of those hops.
I didn't get a ton of bitterness. I think that some of it is from some of what you're getting might be from the toastiness playing off the dryness of the beer, being like not bitterness, but like malt, not malt bitterness necessarily, but malt richness playing off the dryness. Yeah.
And I guess, you know, in terms of, I mean, it's 2020 and we've all had our lupulin threshold shift, you know, 15 years ago. So the idea that you can have like a lower gravity beer like this that is still flavorful and you can have enough bitterness to balance in the flavor with, you know, a couple of ounces of Hallertauer. I mean, that's normal, but we've kind of gotten away from thinking that that is.
Well, since the Brewing Network is rich, we can pay to have it sent out for IBU analysis.
That's true. Let's do it right now.
Well, I believe we're going to go get in the BN jet right now and go to Switzerland somewhere and get only this finest Swiss analysis of this. Beyond.
It's true. Well, it would have a lot of holes in it.
So what temperature did you ferment at, Don?
Fermentation.
Do you remember?
Yeah, 50. Generally.
Just keep it steady at 50.
For how long?
No ramps or anything.
I'm not a very patient person. It's about a week and a half, two weeks.
That's fine. Just curious.
And then just bump it up.
So you have it in a fridge or something?
It's
control
a converted
your temp.
Freezer, okay.
And then ramp to 68 or something? Or where do you go with diacetyl
rest? 55, 58, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Diacetyl rest for lagers doesn't need to be in the 60s.
No.
That's the classic advice is, okay, do a diacetyl rest at 68 for 2 days and da-da-da-da. But, you can, with a lager, you don't need to go all the way up that high.
Yeah, I agree.
Plus, it takes longer to ramp back down if you go slow.
Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Water-wise, just a little more water.
I filter carbon and fine particle filter everything. Mm-hmm. But that's, I mean, it's not really going to take all the good stuff out of the water, right?
No, very good.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't do a lot with water.
Neither do I.
Check the pH. You know,
hardly,
you know,
touch the stuff.
Make sure. Mm-hmm. Don't. I can't tell that joke.
Yeah.
The only thing I check is pH and make sure that's sort of in the range that I want it.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
I love it.
Well done, man.
Thank you. What you're doing is working. Thanks, dude.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break and then we're going to come right back and we're going to wrap up the show. Hang on, it's Dr. Homebrew.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small 4-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
The leader in affordable, high-quality kegerators is here. Introducing Komos, the kegerator designed with serious beer drinkers in mind. It features an all-stainless steel draft tower, a major upgrade over traditional chrome-plated brass towers, and Komos keeps your new tower cold with their air-cooled tower fan, wrapping your beer lines in frigid coolness. Your beer is poured from innovative forward-sealing faucets that don't leak, so they stay cleaner for longer. Dual gas inlets on the rear of the fridge allow you to run both CO2 and nitrogen gas. Serve your beer with CO2, serve your kegged wine or even cocktails with nitrogen. The digital temperature display has the largest range available, allowing you to use the Komos kegerator for fermentation if you need to. And now Komos kegerators ship with duo-tight draft fittings for that click-to-connect assembly we've all dreamed of. Buy direct from ComosDraft.com and receive free shipping on your order. That's KOMOSDraft.com.
Everybody, if you want to learn how to make Vienna lagers that are, you know, above 30, which is hard to do, this is the show for you. Right, Brian?
For sure. And if you want to send beer to me, email Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com. That's Brian with an I. And everybody should know how to spell The Brewing Network by now. And send us your beer. We'd love to taste it, and we'd love to help you out with it. If you have a problematic beer, you know, something that's driving you nuts. All my beers taste like this. Or my friend says... you can taste this in it, but I don't, or whatever it is.
Anything
we'll
like that.
We'll help you settle that score, man.
For sure, and mainly because I know from emails past, a lot of people are nervous about sending bad beer. They go, oh, I don't have anything good yet. We don't want good beer. We want bad beer to help you make it into good beer, makes sense.
Yeah, they're the most interesting ones to discuss, and we love getting the good beers, too, but we don't want the show to be something where everybody, like, somebody tries to crack that 45 threshold or something.
Look, that'd be nice, but...
You know, they probably... have already. I don't keep track of the scores, but we just try to be fair and judge what we get, and we appreciate it. We're never going to beat you up unnecessarily.
That's true.
Unless you're Don.
You know, a solid 15 years ago, one of the first comps I ever judged, one of the beers tasted like rosemary and dirt.
And rosemary.
It's got like an herb. See, that's good comedy. So you should have a podcast, man. And it was interesting, like you're saying, it's interesting to try to figure out how it gets the taste that way, because they're not any of the standard descriptors that you hear or see in the guidelines or anything. It's like, how does it get to be like that? That's half the fun of doing this.
I'm pouring a beer right now. I want you guys real fast, because we're almost out of time. I mean, we basically are out of time.
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts on this beer.
Wow, the aroma the aroma smells like brew day. It's very,
it smells
very
like wort.
Worty aroma.
It smells like I'm walking by a brewery.
Fresh wort.
And it's very nice, but it's also not what I expect from a finished beer.
This is a black ale.
From whom are you going to say?
I'll say it later.
Okay.
I'll say it later.
I saw the can.
No.
No.
It's not... bad.
Do you want to try
this? The flavor is warty and kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah,
like the aroma. And there's just not. Is this like one of those Malta beverages that's not supposed to be alcoholic? That is like a thing. Or am I wrong?
I don't know what that means. A Malta beverage?
I've heard of this stuff called Malta that's like popular in Latin America. That's like a beer, but it's not fermented.
Do me a favor, Brian. Yeah, shut the. Thank you. It just took 12 hours to close the door.
It does taste like unfermented wort and kind of...
It smells and tastes like that, yeah.
Yeah, watery, but worty, yeah.
No off flavors, no off aromas. Yeah. There's a lot of flavor and aroma to it.
Yeah, it's just not the right one.
I'd like to ferment this and turn it into beer.
It's non-alcoholic beer from Hairless Dog. It's a black ale. Non-alcoholic craft beer. I picked it up. I thought, why not? Let's try it. Let's try some of it.
Interesting, yeah.
And the first time I had it, I was like, wow, that aroma's cool, because it's kind of chocolatey and worty, and it does smell like boiling wort when you just add the hops. So it's sort of that earthy kind of thing. But that flavor, I can't do it. It's harsher, earthy, like from what I've read Pride of Ringwood used to be. That kind of like really like stemmy, biney kind of like quality.
Like I never tasted that hop that I know of. But Zymergy in like 1994, 1993 was all about, oh God, Pride of Ringwood, be careful with this hop.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be pretty nasty if you didn't know what to do with it.
It tastes like wort. It tastes like it tastes like a hydrometer sample, a carbonated hydrometer sample. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody probably had to pressure cook the hell out of this, or do something to keep it from fermenting.
But they might have just brought it up. They might have just mixed it with like a seltzery thing and brought it up to like a finishing gravity that a beer would have, like a 10, 13 or something.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, they forgot
put lots
yeast.
Of flavor in there. So, like, for a non-alcoholic beer, this has a lot of flavor.
Agreed.
Yeah,
that's something you could say. Like most non-alcoholic beers,
there's something you can say.
Tastes like water.
And so I definitely applaud them for trying to make not just a light beer that's not like, you know, non-alcoholic Heineken or lagers, right? Yeah. This is actually a beer with some flavor. But I just, the flavors were weird. They're hard for me to like get around. Now, if I couldn't drink alcohol anymore and I still wanted to live, I would drink this.
You could mix it with O'Doul's. Do we have O'Doul's here?
Oh, yeah. Let me pull some O'Doul's out. What?
Oh, Jesus Christ. O'Doul's. I mean, don't make me reach over there and slap you. O'Doul's.
All right. Well,
good God.
That's all I wanted to get to. I just wanted you guys to try some of this stuff. I have another can, but I'll save it for the next show.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? It's not...
It's not unflavorful.
It's not unflavorful. You can definitely say that. So if you're... look, if you're looking to kick back a beer after you're like... fifth and don't want a giant hangover, maybe you pick up some of this kind of a thing, right?
Is this from Hair of the Dog Brewing? And maybe they call it no. Hairless Dog because nope. There's no alcohol in it?
Nope.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in. This has been Dr. Homebrew. You've been great. I'm out of here.